Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
How do we know when God is speaking through us? Or maybe it is all the time.
You're inspired. There's no going back. It's like a child that is born, cannot return to the womb. Mm. And you not only change yourself, you transform other people. And you move in the direction of truth, goodness, beauty, harmony, evolution, love, compassion, kindness, joy, equanimity, peace of mind. Nothing other than God.
That's Deepak Chopra in one of his many media interviews answering the question, how do you know that you're in touch with the divine? He says there is nothing other than God. Now, that is something you can hang your hat on, because most of the time when I hear Deepak Chopra talk, it is just that kind of one noun after another, goodness, equanimity, like he's going through a dictionary or a thesaurus, just kind of reading down a list of words. And to me, it sounds like he's making it up as he goes along, which kind of raises a question. If you're going to do a half hour on the teachings of Deepak Chopra and someone's just making it up, maybe there is a coherent center. Maybe there is actually a message in what Deepak Chopra teaches. That's the real question. What is that message? Joining us to talk about the teachings of Deepak Chopra, Robert Velarde. He's a Christian apologist, author of the books Examining Alternative Medicine and a forthcoming publication, A Visual Defense. He's also written an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, Eastern Ideas in a Western Culture. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
When I hear him talk, it just sounds like lists of nice-sounding words. It sounds like, I mean, quite honestly, like most of the time he's making it up as he goes along. Is there a coherent center to Deepak Chopra's teaching?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, we could go on and on sort of evaluating how he comes across on interviews and different media appearances. And, you know, having personally studied his teachings for, boy, about 20 years now, I'd have to say there is a coherence there. It's very much rooted in Eastern pantheistic sort of worldview. It does fit within that framework. There's certainly not a coherence when you try to square it with, say, Christianity or even other facts about reality, at least as they're commonly accepted by us here in the West. He has a good way, though, of coming across in an appealing manner, and a lot of people listen to him. They are looking for some sort of simple, you know, pop spirituality that they can latch onto. And a lot of the irony here is that much of what Chopra teaches would never sell, so to speak, in India. It would just sort of be laughed off as another, you know, trend or something that's not really unique. But Chopra has very much developed a way to package these Eastern ideas in a way that's palatable to the West. You know, much of this he learned from one of his mentors, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi of Transcendental Meditation.
We heard him at the end of that little soundbite at the beginning say, there is nothing but God. Is that a good beginning place to kind of take apart his teachings?
Sure, you know, and there's a couple of ways we can interpret that. You know, what does he mean by God is one of the first questions we should ask as Christian theists. You know, a lot of different religions, a lot of different philosophers might use the word God, but what they infuse into it as far as meaning is concerned is very different. You know, within Chopra's framework, what he means by that is that everything is God. You know, that's one of his key teachings, is that all is one and all is divine. You know, we essentially have here what we'd call monistic pantheism, and that is his framework for defining God. Now, it's very tricky here because sometimes he uses language where I would say he borrows Christian ideas to make himself more appealing. Even though he does not believe in a personal loving God, he'll use terms like that to appeal to a broader audience. But if you dig deeper into some of his teachings, you'll find that he's very, very clearly has a different idea about God than we do.
So is that part of the reason that, at least in kind of the pop culture Oprah Winfrey spotlight wherein he dwells most of the time, he is so accepted by people who otherwise would be very wary of ideas foreign to Christianity, because he's able to use the parlance, so to speak?
Well, yes. He knows how to use the language in a way that's not going to, you might say, shock someone right off. You know, they might come across it in some of his books or in other resources. But typically, you know, when he makes a media appearance, he doesn't always say something that someone would, you know, find outrageous. Whereas some other figures, such as Maharishi and other Eastern individuals, you know, back in the 70s and 80s in particular, you would have some of these folks like, you know, Bhagwan, Sri Rajneesh, and some of these others, you know, Sri Chinmoy, a lot of these folks who, you know, are not as prominent or even alive anymore, would say things that were just outrageous. And Chopra tends to tone that down, at least in his media appearances. But you find things in his writings. You know, here's a quote right here from one of his books where he's talking about good and evil. And he says, "However, to the visionary, these are two sides of the same force. God created both because both are needed. God is in the evil as much as in the good." And that obviously is something diametrically opposed to what Christianity would say about good and evil.
You have kind of classified his teaching, doing a little riff on Campus Crusade's four spiritual laws. You say Chopra's teaching can be broken down into kind of four spiritual laws or principles that are common throughout his teaching. What are they?
Sure. And, you know, of course, they're very different than the four spiritual laws we find in Campus Crusade for Christ, which I think goes by CRU now in the United States. But Chopra's four spiritual laws, so to speak, are that all is one. This is the teaching of monism. Another one would be that we are perfect and divine. And a third one is that we must become enlightened about our true perfect nature. And finally, the fourth would be that enlightenment leads to some sort of healing and other major benefits. This could be things like creating affluence or wealth. I think even one of his books is titled Creating Affluence. So those are really the four areas where he is centering around in his teachings. Now, the question I have for him, among others, would be, well, if he has mastered this sort of thing, if he's really following the principles of his first really successful book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind, you know, why is he getting gray hairs? You know, why is he wearing glasses now? You know, these are some very basic questions. If we're all perfect and divine, including, you know, the Chopra, you know, why are things like this occurring to him? Well, the obvious answer, of course, is that his viewpoint is just wrong. Like everyone else, he's getting old, he's aging, he's decaying. You know, in thousands of years that some of these practices have been taught in India, you know, how come nobody has achieved any of these things, you know, to the point where we are perfect and divine? Well, obviously, it's because we're not perfect and divine. There are some fundamental flaws in that sort of thinking.
Is that part of the reason that, which you said before, his teachings wouldn't fly in India? Not only the cultural reasons, where they would kind of recognize this as a westernized pop version of their Eastern religion, but also because it doesn't really work the way he says it does in his books?
Well, that's exactly true. You know, aside from the fact that he's repackaged it and essentially, you might say, cleaned it up for Western consumption, is the fact that it doesn't work. I mean, you can go to India and you can see the squalor and the failure of the underlying worldview there of pantheism, the fact that, you know, and everything that goes with it, you know, the karma and all of that other teaching, it just doesn't work on a practical level. You know, so what do you see in a country like that? You see worldviews like Christianity that are making a difference, that are out there helping people, expressing compassion, that have a grounding for love and expressing love and compassion and mercy and helping others and doing so in a positive sense, whereas based on an Indian Hinduistic sort of approach, there's really no basis for that. You could actually be harming another person by helping them, because you're working against their own karma, their own ability to sort of get themselves off this cycle.
He says, and you quote him from his probably most famous book, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, Chopra writes, "Our essential nature is one of pure potentiality. Your body is not separate from the universe. the larger quantum field, the universe, is your extended body. All processes of creation are processes through which the self or divinity expresses itself. With about a minute or so here, what in the world is he saying? Is he saying that we are divine?
Well, that's exactly what he's saying. You know, there's some other quotes where he's even clearer about it. There's one passage, for instance, where he says something to the effect that we're divinity in disguise. You know, he'll say elsewhere, he had a multimedia CD-ROM a while back, and he said that my body is ageless, timeless, and boundless. I'm in touch with my divine nature every day. So that's exactly how he's looking at things. He's got a different filter for understanding reality, including how he interprets the Bible and what Christ has said and done.
Robert Velarde is our guest. He's a Christian apologist and author of the books Examining Alternative Medicine and a forthcoming publication, A Visual Defense. He's written an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, Eastern Ideas in a Western Culture. When we come back, we'll have another 10 minutes with him talking about the teachings of Deepak Chopra. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of Issues Etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth, Issues Etc.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the teachings of Deepak Chopra. Robert Velarde is our guest. A little bit later, about 10 minutes from now, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is going to join us. We're going to talk about media coverage of an abortion filibuster in Texas. You heard about that in the news. Of course, the senator that held the filibuster is now the darling of the media. How was it covered? How is she being covered by the media? Molly will join us in the last 10 minutes. Robert, let's talk a little bit about the Jesus of Deepak Chopra. Who is Jesus according to Chopra?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Deepak has been helpful to us in that regard. He wrote a book called The Third Jesus. I won't trouble you with the other views of Jesus. I'll just talk about his. His view is essentially as Jesus as sort of an enlightened cosmic Christ figure, spiritual mentor, someone who could point us toward God consciousness, and a fellow who, at least in Deepak's interpretation, had these esoteric or secret or mysterious teachings that we somehow have to draw out from the scriptures, which essentially boils down to reading into them what's not really there. You know, Deepak makes some very significant errors in interpretation in a variety of ways, creative ways certainly, but not ways that are true to the biblical text at all.
So he just kind of recasts Jesus in as enlightened master according to his worldview.
Yes, that's exactly true. And you find a lot of that occurring in, you know, New Age, New Spirituality type teachings where they'll sort of try to fit Jesus into their mold and make him just, you know, one of many enlightened masters sort of a thing. And, you know, Chopra is very unique in the way he does this. There's a interesting passage in his book, How to Know God, where he tries to understand John 1:1, you know, which we're all familiar with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And Chopra goes on trying to figure out what the Word is. He writes, clearly no ordinary word is implied. Something like the following is meant. Before there was time and space, a faint vibration existed outside the cosmos. He kind of goes on and on a bit, and later on he comes to the point where he says, perhaps Om is the very word John is referring to. You know, of course, that's nonsense. There's nothing at all within the text or the worldview of the author of the text that would even remotely hint at that Eastern idea. And in fact, you know, following a principle of interpretation that Scripture interprets Scripture, we can read a few verses down in John 1:14 where we're clearly told the Word became flesh and walked among us. It's very clear in the fact that it's referring to Christ, not some Eastern meditative word. But that's an idea of what Chopra sort of reads into the text. You know, he's very much ignoring what Jesus meant and what the text meant. You know, Jesus and the authors of the New Testament weren't just throwing out these amorphous fortune cookie statements. They were offering profound truths that they found corresponded to reality. And they upheld the essential attributes and teachings of a Judaistic version of God. You know, God is personal. God is separate and distinct from the universe. Humanity is fallen and depraved and very much in need of repentance and redemption. And none of that is found in, you know, what you might call the gospel according to Chopra.
What is then, kind of in those terms, man's dilemma and its solution, according to Deepak Chopra? What is man's essential problem?
Well, it's very much in line with what you would find in traditional Hinduism, the fact that we are unenlightened, we are ignorant, we need to come to the point of becoming enlightened and get out of our ignorance and realizing, according to Chopra, that we are perfect and divine. And of course, if you do that, you toss out the central message of Christianity. There's no point in a Savior. There's no point in redemption or atonement or repentance. You end up having what Deepak wants, essentially, is a heaven on earth, but not the Christian heaven. He wants it without the messy business of sin or repentance and atonement. And it goes very much back to the depravity of the human condition, that we want to experience some sort of happiness and immortality, but we certainly don't want to deal with the negative side of that, especially when it applies to us personally.
Is there another element to Deepak Chopra's teaching which may or may not actually be expressed, but is certainly a major theme in how he presents himself and his ideas, and that is look at me. I am successful. I am wealthy. I am a healthy man. I'm knowledgeable. I have done it. It works for me. You can too. It'll work for you.
Well, that's an aspect of it. You know, the affluence, the gaining of wealth, the accumulation of material possessions. And, you know, we have an example of that in Scripture where you know, what was it that Christ said to someone? He said, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? So there's that appeal to the West of materialism packaged in this Eastern sort of wrappings, wanting people to think they can live forever, they cannot decay, they cannot get sick. It's sort of a, you know, health and wealth gospel according to Chopra. And I think that appeals to a certain number of people in the West. If we are essentially living as what you might call functional naturalists, or at least deists, you know, not very much concerned with God or how he's involved in our lives on a daily basis, then what's left to appeal to? Well, it's what's left when you take God out. You know, you try to accumulate wealth and happiness and possessions and get all this stuff. And that is why one of the reasons, you know, it tends to work here in the West but not in the East.
Finally, then, someone might object and say, look, Robert, Chopra's message is harmless. Yeah, it's a lot of gobbledygook, but it's essentially positive. People come away from his seminars, from his books, with a better view of themselves, a more positive attitude about life. What's wrong with it? What would be your answer with about a minute or so?
Well, I think there's a lot wrong with it, and at bottom, I think it is a matter of eternal consequences. If we are truly immortal beings, as C.S. Lewis said, we would be eternal horrors or everlasting splendors, then these are matters of eternal importance. And if someone actually buys into monistic pantheism and a denial of good and evil and confusing God with good and evil, you're very much opposed to the message of Christianity, which corresponds to reality and is true. It's a message of hope, and it's grounded in historical reality. It's reasonable. It holds up against any worldview, and in fact, far better than any other competing worldview. So Chopra is offering really temporary and empty hope.
Robert Velarde is a Christian apologist, author of the books Examining Alternative Medicine and a forthcoming publication, A Visual Defense. He's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, Eastern Ideas in a Western Culture. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.